shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Well, tell us about it. Welcome to the Sea Hags podcast. My name is Chris Jeppa.
Oh, and I'm Katie Norgren.
And
you better introduce our guests.
Yeah, today we've got the lovely Noelle. Hooray. Welcome.
Hooray. Hello.
Hello.
All the way from across the water.
Oh, yes.
She came across from across the sea.
The great strait of Georgia.
The Salish Sea, yes. As they call it.
How was the crossing? I've heard it was really rough.
Yesterday was sunny and uneventful. I ended up sitting next to these, like, older couple who were desperate for grandchildren, so they were, like, all over the baby the whole time.
Noelle has a small baby.
I have a small baby. She's 9 months old. Her name is River.
She's the cutest. There's a picture of her lives on my fridge now at all times.
She's painfully cute.
Like, objectively.
We're considering, like, pimping her out to the modeling industry. I mean, like, no joke, like...
No, it's true.
I mean, like, I wonder, I've been, you know, I feel kind of bad about it from a, I don't know, like...
ethical standpoint of some kind?
Yeah, but maybe we could, like, you know, put money in a college fund or something. I was a baby model and my...
What?
Parents spent the money, so I never got to use it.
Oh my god.
Your parents, Corey Feldman, do.
Yes, in the 80s, I was in a commercial that aired during the Cosby Show.
Wow! That's amazing. I could totally see that, though. You got a face that looks like it was a real face when you were a baby.
Yes, everybody is... I feel like...
I only say that because I've seen your baby's face, and her face is so cute and baby-like.
Yes, I got the baby face gene, and I passed it on to my actual baby, who has quite the baby face herself.
Which is a very appropriate age to have a baby face.
Yeah, it is. So I've been I've been wondering the practicalities of, like, how do you make money off of a cute baby?
That's one way. I don't think it's any less ethical than the monetized mom blog, honestly. Like, which I don't necessarily have a problem with anyway. It's just like it's exactly the same thing. You're still an advertisement, right? Mm-hmm.
I think they actually want twins, or triplets, ideally, because then like when one of them is crying, the other ones are hopefully not crying.
Oh yeah,
and they
yeah.
all look exactly the same.
So you like, can the Olsen swap twins, them out. Yeah.
Well, they must have been doing that on Jane the Virgin, hey, with that little toddler that they had playing Mateo, Jane's little toddler baby.
Yeah, he's probably one of three or something.
I only bring it up because he's the cutest goddamn toddler I've ever seen in my life. Like, the kid's nickname on the show is Mr. Sweetface. Very props. Like,
cute,
an absolute mop of curly black hair and the biggest soulful eyes. It's the cutest little kid.
Babies.
Like,
I got the fever.
The only prescription is some babies.
I know. That's Noelle was saying she could make me like a potion of like baby vomit to like yes. really get into the spirit
well,
of feeling
can,
like
I
a mom.
I can save all kinds of fluids and jars for you. If you
oh,
want.
Please don't.
The worst kind of Howard Hughes. That's vile.
Oh my
God. Bless though.
Oh, it's really funny. Actually the messiest part is eating actual food, like giving her anything is like you have to strip her completely naked afterwards. Like, and I'm not even joking, like it gets in her hair, it gets all over the chair. I'm like scraping dried banana off of a chair like 3 times a day now.
She's a Silkwood shower after every.
Yeah.
I mean, that's after I eat it, I like to strip completely naked.
I just like to start completely naked.
Yes.
I just need a light white. You know, yeah. just a damp cloth once over.
I went and got a hamburger from a What's Up Hot Dog earlier today.
Because you like to zag on him. You go to a fucking hot dog restaurant, get a hamburger.
Actually, I was in an Indian place getting a mango lassi today. And I was just like casually looking at their menu and they had Greek salad on the menu. Like, what kind of asshole goes to an Indian restaurant and orders a Greek salad?
I would 100% do that.
Really?
Well, I love Greek salad.
Well, me too, but you're at an Indian restaurant.
I know, but I'm also eating, like, a pool of ghee if I'm at an Indian restaurant.
Yeah,
so I'm thinking,
okay.
Like, what kind of vegetables can I sneak
you
in?
Gotta, sure. You gotta cut through with some acidity.
Yeah, I can't just, like, can you just bring me a lassi, but instead of a lassi, it's just, like,
ghee.
Palak.
I'll
it's
have a
just
glass
spinach.
Of butter, please.
Just a glass of liquefied spinach, please, and just like one toasted paneer on top. Ugh. I'll go with the Greek salad, thank you. But that is very arrogant.
It's okay. I mean, this is
what
Vancouver.
It's a multicultural, it's fusion, yeah. Right? Is that what
fusion? It's not what that's not what comes to mind.
A grilled cheese sandwich with butter chicken. I'd eat that. That's like a pregnancy food or a stoner food, depending on how you feel.
It's pretty similar, maybe. Like
very little difference between the two. Yeah. I feel like when you become pregnant, you're actually kind of stoned. Like your brain, the baby brain is real. Like I literally was unsafe driving around the city, and not because I was, like, pregnant, or, like, it was just my brain was not functioning properly, like...
I just got an amazing business idea, you guys, that I just want to propose to you right now.
Okay.
Like, it's like a Big Brothers, Big Sisters network, only you're pairing pregnant women and stoners together.
Yes!
Cause so you can like watch the you can watch cartoons together and cry and eat like Doritos dipped in ice cream or something. Like, I just like, yeah, I don't know where the money comes from. I don't know. Step one, connect pregnant women and stoners.
I don't know if we could somehow tap into the like multi-bajillion-dollar market that is buying things for babies.
Right.
Like, not even me, but just people. Like, people hear you have a baby, they're like, you have a baby? And then dresses start to arrive in the mail. Like, I'm not even joking. I am still receiving ridiculous baby dresses in the mail 9 months in.
From people you don't even know.
On a monthly basis. From, like, just obscure relatives that I haven't spoken to in years.
Yours is also the first grandchild out of the bunch of both of your families, right?
Yes.
So it's like, that baby is really getting a lot of love from the aunties and uncles and grandparents.
Yes, and the first girl on the other side, which is... in like a two generations or something like that.
That's amazing.
So everyone's like, oh my god, I had all this pink frilly shit just sitting in the closet that I need to share.
Oh my god, the other day I received like a Jackie O pink juicy baby dress with a pair of like pink diaper cover with sparkly juicy written on the bum.
No!
Adrian's like, she's never wearing this, we're not putting her on it and taking a photo, we're not, like, it's not gonna go in her closet, like, it's just gonna go in the garbage. I don't even want to donate it because I don't want to subject some poor child to, like...
That's, yeah, I mean, it's probably pretty juicy.
It's...
If by juicy you mean full of pee.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Ew.
Yeah, there's nothing, anyway, I mean...
That's... Oh, God. It's just, like, there's no... Okay, maybe, I don't know, maybe a subsidiary of my company that isn't going to make any money that might make some money is just someone to stand there, like, at a pitch meeting for baby products and be like, that's a horrible idea!
Don't even get me started on...
Please don't do that!
Don't even get me started on toys. Like, it's like people who design children's toys have never had children themselves.
Oh, yeah, it's like, this screams!
Not only have they never had children themselves, but they've never been parents. Because,
right.
Like, when you're a parent and you have to listen to the same... stupid song that comes out of an electronic baby toy like 50,000 times, like they should be like having little USB ports so that you can put your own music in these things so at
Ooh.
Least it doesn't play some piece of crap. Yeah, anyway.
This sounds very personal, Noelle.
I'm pretty upset about it.
What little barnyard song has got your knickers in a
knot?
Oh
my god, there's this one toy that my mom bought. It lives at grandma's house, thank god. But it's like a little, like, I can't even describe, like, sort of like a little troll doll or something, and he, like, she dances side to side, and when you say something, it, like, samples your voice, and then warps it, and then puts it back, spits it back out, you know, as part of a techno song.
Thank you.
As part of a bad techno song, so it's like, unch, 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 and it's like, it's going, see the colors on the screen, and there's, like, the colors, and it's counting, and, like, telling you about barnyard sounds
in a
techno song.
Narrow it down, toy. There's too much going on there.
Yeah, that seems like a lot. That's like the rocky road of like baby toys.
Oh my god, I'm gonna get, if I ever have a baby, I'm gonna get them one toy and one toy only. And it's gonna be one of those things that you put in a car dealership that blows up the thing with the arms and it just wiggles. And that's the only thing my child
will have.
It'll be
an austere,
so
white
loud.
Wooden cube in the middle of a room.
Because I'm a minimalist Swedish parent.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
The monolith.
But the cube actually turns out to be that thing from Hellraiser, and then you're in a lot of trouble with this with CPS.
Oh, God. Yes, the possessed doll. We have a little, also courtesy of Grandma, we have
a haunted doll.
A teddy bear that has a diaper on it, and
no.
It crawls, and
no.
It implores you to follow it, and it's
no!
Going, I'm a talking bear! Follow me! And then it, like, crawls away. I'm not even exaggerating. That's exactly what it sounds
Your
like.
Your mother sucks cocks in hell!
No, seriously. And then it has buttons on its bum, like, on its diaper bum.
You
and
touch
it,
its
it'll
butt?
Crawl past you, and it'll be like, touch my yellow button. And it's like so molesty. I can't even
begin. Oh my God. Okay, I'm going to pitch myself as a product oversight consultant, I believe is the name I have to have for this.
Yeah, someone to stand in a room and go, this is a terrible idea.
James, that, you know, it's fascinating that you came up with that all by yourself, but that's fucking insane. And we can never put that into the market because people will kill themselves if they see this.
Honestly, it sounds possessed. And also what's even more infuriating about it is that it stops crawling after it tells you to follow it. It's like, follow me, and then it just stops.
But yeah, you stop behind it, and then it just sort of gets dark and cold while you're standing.
You feel like a chill on the back of your neck.
And then the teddy bear's head just turns around all the way, 360 degrees.
You shouldn't have followed me. Yeah, Carl, let's not fucking make this toy, because that's really scary.
You know, we have a swear jar at our house now, and it even in this room with the three of us at the podcast, and I can swear all I want, it's like it feels badass to say fuck now.
Wow, you've changed.
It's only been like 2 weeks of the swear jar, and it's like, it's reprogramming my brain.
Are you just worried about River, like, picking up your speech?
No, it's like my, you know, I've been working so hard on, like, correcting myself when I just casually use swear words all the time. And
I didn't realize that that was wrong.
Well, it is if you have a child learning to speak that you don't. I mean, I don't care if my kid says fuck, but I do if she goes to, like, her friend's house and says, like, fuck you to, like, her, you know, someone else that doesn't have a sense of humor.
I feel like my parents swore a lot when I was a kid, but it wasn't even them. It was just something else that made me think swearing was bad, so I just got mad at them when they swore, so I never started swearing.
You little narc.
Like, I'm a total narc. Mom, are you kidding me? Like, I'm a...
You shouldn't say that bad word. That's a bad word.
Well, my mom liked to swear, drink, and smoke, so I had a lot of stuff to say
I
to her.
I do all those things. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but I remember, yeah, she, I would just be like, if they would say the fuck word, so to speak.
Hilarious.
I like how, we were, speaking of not swearing, Katie and I were on the radio.
Oh, God.
Fruit Salad, and, it was on Co-op Radio, and the host was just like, hey, so you can't swear, because it's, you know, Co-op Radio, someone might complain. They'll fine us $20,000 if you swear, so you can't say fuck
live,
or shit.
Or can they,
live.
Like, oh.
And so Katie says both of those words.
I said both fuck and shit, listener.
So do they, like, automatically get fined, or?
No, apparently that's not quite true.
And it's also $20,000, no. That's, like, that's their operating budget for the year.
Yeah, exactly. So that was sort of a lie. I think right. It's only if anyone complains, so hopefully nobody
those
listens to it.
Fucking liars.
It's gonna get released in podcast form, and then you can complain then. No, wait, no.
Yeah. Well, not my finest moment, unfortunately, but it's like if she hadn't told me not to do it, I probably wouldn't have done it. But
it's all her fault.
Well, that's kind of...
There's no
know,
place in my life I'm not allowed to swear.
Don't think about the giant pink elephant,
yeah,
you
there's,
know?
There's nowhere in my life I'm not allowed to swear where it's not okay. Like, I do it at work, I do it...
And that's
in
good.
The shower, I do
I love
it on
swearing.
The bus.
Swearing's amazing.
It feels great.
So
it
we
makes
have
me feel cool.
The best part about the swear jar, which we haven't really decided about yet, but so we have these like the two jars, the you know what we've spent and what's in the bank, and it's they're beans, like two different color beans, because we share money now that we have a child. It's kind of ridiculous, like having separate finances, and so you know the swear jar doesn't really mean anything because like the money is like the house money, and so we decided that the beans would be spent as like relationship currency, you know, like.
Social like, capital, if you will.
I don't know, like, you know, you pull the night shift with the baby and I'm going to sleep until noon, or, like, seven blowjobs, or, I don't know, I'm just thinking...
Seven blowjobs! Seven in one blow! Such a specific amount of blowjobs.
I don't know why I said that.
One blowjob a week.
Well, that would, you know, maybe seven is, like, the deal. Like, you know, you pay for ten, but... Or,
I mean, yeah, it's a Groupon.
That's what happens when you're married. Groupon. You pay for 10, but you won't get 7.
I feel like Dave Shumka is going to serve us for biting his bit because he does those relationship coupons every Valentine's Day and Christmas. Yes.
So if you have any ideas about what you would trade for beans in your relationship.
10 blowjobs for the price of 7.
So like your beans are one color and his beans are another color, and then you see who swore more in the last little while?
Well, and then eventually when the jar gets full enough, we can like buy things from each other. Like, you know, I'll give you 20 beans
for
like...
Yeah, barter currency.
A finger blast. Yeah, something like that.
That's so romantic. I'm just picturing it as like a... like a hide the shell game.
Well, it doesn't really work in the bedroom either, because
it's like, hey, could you it's like, yeah, where are the beans? Just like, you hear the clattering of 20.
So baby, what do you want to do? I don't know how many beans you got.
I got 69 beans. I have 420 beans.
It's the only numbers that exist. Parenting done correctly.
That's really amazing.
Oh man, that's funny. Well, I'm laughing. I'm just laughing.
Anyway, so like it's led to many amusing exchanges, such as, oh fuck, oh you said fuck, well that's a bean too. Fuck you! And like
just throwing beans into the jar.
You guys are gonna have one of those like sexy fights where you just start like throwing beans at each other.
And you like gently putting beans into each other's mouths. You're like, these aren't cooked. Like, I know, you're spitting them. Oh, the visual. Visual medium.
Theater of the mind.
Theater of the mind.
Listener,
everyone.
You can imagine.
Let me just wipe away my single tear. I have to narrate because we're on the radio.
Yes, we're definitely on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Coming at you live.
It's content on demand, baby.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it's nice to not be on actually live now.
Yeah.
Because then I could say fucking shit as much as I want.
Mm-hmm.
And we could take that out and then no one would even know.
Yeah,
if I just said fucking
shit. We code this as explicit, so you gotta know that there's gonna be this. If you have the explicit E, you have to say a certain amount of swears
in order to
earn that badge.
You gotta say heck a few times for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I feel like if you're browsing around the internet and you press play on anything, even if it doesn't have explicit on it, and you hear some fuck words, it's your own fault. You're on the internet.
You, like, need to be prepared to see
the internet.
Dicks flying at you at
yes,
the speed
right?
of light, pretty much, yeah.
I mean, if you don't want to, if you shouldn't be looking at those things.
That's
then
the sound of them, like, just gently thwacking your face as they wing on past.
Do the dicks have wings? Like, right above the balls? Flying toasters from
one, yes.
Microsoft Word.
Yes.
I would think that the balls
yes.
would deploy as a parachute
yes.
if they ever fell out of the sky.
Yes and yes. You're both right. I want you to know. And the dicks with wings 100% is in Roman art from an old like bathhouse or a,
really?
Or a brothel or something. Like, flying dicks 1000%. I'm gonna look up flying
Do
dicks.
Do they have faces or like
oh no, no, they're just flying dicks.
I see.
Like it's just a fertility symbol.
Like,
or
you
it's
just
hilarious.
Write down flying dicks in your notebook.
Now you're making me think of flying toasters and how there were several different versions of the flying toasters screensaver from the early Microsoft Suites. This is not familiar to you?
Microsoft Suites from the early 90s, yes.
Yeah, so there was the flying toasters and there was a song that went along with it. And
oh,
it was
no.
like, do, 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 do.
This is unfamiliar to
yes,
me.
Oh, yeah? No, there was. And there was someone made one that had lyrics that would scroll across the bottom because it was a MIDI file. You couldn't actually have the lyrics. And someone made a baby version of the flying toaster. So they're like little, so it was like the sound of like a toy piano and like a mobile going, kind of like the, you know, like a creepy
this,
baby.
I was going to say, this sounds like the song that creepy fucking possessed teddy bear sings.
Yeah, basically. But as a kid, like, I'm just trying to speak to my own weird emotional reactions to things that don't make sense. As I saw these baby toasters and I just thought to myself, like, I'm 9 or 10. Like, oh my god, they're babies. They're so vulnerable. I have to protect them. I think I cried over the screensaver.
Oh my god.
If anyone ever doubted that I was a fucking Hufflepuff.
So you got bullied as a kid, you said? I didn't
believe
yeah. it.
Hufflepuff?
I'm so sorry.
Really? I took that online
Extreme
test
recently. Hufflepuff.
I was surprised with the results.
What did you get?
Ravenclaw.
I would 100% guess that.
Really?
Yeah, I was going to say you were definitely a Ravenclaw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Research,
really?
Lots of like overanalyzing that kind
lots
of stuff.
Lots of overanalyzing,
you know,
so, like working
it
solid
that we've
in a
been
solitary way.
For quite a long time, Christina.
We've been friends for 12 or 13 years,
yeah.
14 years.
Yeah, about a year longer than we've been friends.
Exactly.
So you wouldn't have to battle after, just for the record, for Christina's love?
No, we can all be friends together.
Nope, it's a competition.
No.
No, you're right, it's not.
It's
I'm not
friendship.
A competitive person. Now I'm just looking up flying dicks. Flying dicks art. No, not ducks. God damn it.
Why would it ever
they
be?
They all do that. Like, that's not impressive.
How silly are you, Google?
Flying dicks Roman.
Oh, man.
This room is so, like, resplendent.
Everybody's, that's so great. There's every single episode someone says that. It would be so funny if the room actually was not impressive looking. It was just like a shithole and we just got everyone to
there's
say
like
that
a
at
piece
a random
of printer
point.
Paper like sellotape to the wall, like, just, say room is beautiful.
It's just, like, and it's slowly peeling off from like the humidity in here. And there's like a dank bucket that water is just dripping into.
Now you're just describing my dad's house that I went to on Tuesday.
Oh my god. Yeah, we have to get to get to that.
We can do like the portion.
Here are the flying dicks that I wanted to tell you about. There's some sculpture.
They put smiley faces over the heads of the dicks. Oh, there we go.
They're
them dicks at. Yeah, that's exactly what I pictured.
Yeah.
They look feathery.
They look kind of like Canada geese.
Yeah, and they're just as mean.
They'll pecker your eyes out.
God,
Katie. Why don't we check in on the week, then, since it's considerably less silly than what we've already started talking about.
I don't know. Getting giggly is much more fun than, like...
Do you want to do the stuff we wanted to talk about?
Yeah, we'll do a little bit. Okay. I don't know.
Chris, how was your week?
Well, yes. It was kind of fucked.
Yeah, it was like, a bit fucked up.
So it was my dad's funeral yesterday.
Yes, it was.
And then on the week before, I got to go to his house and, like, go through some things, and it was kind of intense, but, I haven't actually talked about it really on the podcast, so I was gonna, like, go back a little bit. We've just, like, mentioned it a couple times, mm-hmm. but do you mind if I, like, go through some of my, like, notes?
Yeah, by all means. I mean, this is your house.
I was actually wondering that internally, like, how much have they talked about this on the podcast?
Yeah, not really, because I wanted some distance, and I wanted to be able to sort of reflect and not just talk about it, like, while I was, like, in it. Mm-hmm. Even though things are still pretty fresh, I feel like I can kind of, like, reflect.
It's just honest, I think, to just make some points and stuff mm-hmm. about how you're doing at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I don't know, basically my dad and I had a really hard relationship. Like, my mom and him split up when I was, like, 6 or something, and we moved to the Sunshine Coast, and he was pretty, like, scary and, like, volatile and, like, unpredictable and stuff like mm-hmm. that, and I've had lots of discussions with my mom about how, like, he wasn't actually really, like, violent or anything, but just, like, super emotionally, like, you know, breaking you down and stuff like that, which is not great, and he mm-hmm. would, like, show up weird places and just be really, like, unexpected, and that was the main thing that was, like, the hardest part to have as a kid, is, like, a dad that was just, like, you could not predict, like, what was up, and one day you would just be like, he would be like, oh, I love you so much. And then the next day would be like, why aren't you, you're stupid, you shouldn't be doing blah, blah, blah. So it was just like super unpredictable. So basically about like 8 or 9 years ago, like after multiple attempts to sort of give him more chances to like reconnect and have a good relationship, I basically had to like boundary him mm-hmm. and like just be like, you can't show up to my gigs, you can't show up to my house. Like I had to move a bunch of times. I like disconnected my phone, like... Yeah.
Basically, I remember when that was all going down, you were, like, informing your work, if he comes in, don't acknowledge that I even work here.
Yeah, because people, like, at different jobs, this is a hot tip for anybody, if someone comes into a workplace and talks about a coworker and says, oh, I'm her dad, and I just want to know what days she works, like, if they have a good relationship, he'll probably already know that information.
Yeah, that seems
but if he doesn't know that information, maybe don't, like, share that freely. So that was happening to me at a lot of jobs.
But anyone who has never had a less than rosy relationship with a parent doesn't really understand that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not the conclusion that they come from in the beginning. They think, oh, a person's nice father was here, I gave them some information. They don't think, hey, there might be, like, this enormous sinister underbelly to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, I must only be thinking with my current life and not, you know, what I was when I was 20 and didn't think about these things.
Exactly. So it's something that I have to, like, be very, like, clear about with folks. Yeah. And so, like, and over, like, many years, like, I was always getting messages from people, like, well-meaning people that my dad would just be very charming to and be like, oh, my daughter and I just miss her so much and I wish we could reconnect, blah, blah, blah. And so people would find me on Facebook and, like, send me messages, like, he just misses you so much and he's so upset and it would really mean a lot to him if he called. And I had to just be like, guys, like, there's a reason. Like, no person doesn't want a good relationship with their parents.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of a, I don't think you would choose.
It's not someone's, like, own selfishness that's mm-hmm. keeping them away from spending time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, no, they've already tried that, and it's depleting and exhausting.
Exactly. So, basically, I hadn't heard from him for a really long time. He, like, stopped showing up to things, and it was pretty chill. And then I got a call from the government, the public guardian and trustee, being
hello,
like,
this is the government.
Yeah, Norma from the government.
Norma from the government. We got your dad here.
Yeah, so he was in the hospital, and he had basically fallen and then, like,
Couldn't get up.
And so they took him to hospital. That's okay.
I'm a very bad
he did
person.
Not have a medical alert bracelet.
Well, that like was his mistake, I guess.
I guess. And so they basically were saying, like, you know, because you haven't seen him in over a year, like, you can't make any medical decisions for him, but I wanted to consult you to let you know that, like, we're going to take him off antibiotics. Because whatever antibiotics for this, like, blood infection that he has is, like, not working anymore, so we're gonna, like, move him to palliative care. Is that okay with you?
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of like, yeah, I guess so. Which is pretty intense.
Yeah, that's
big. But, like, I don't know. They said that he also had, like, prostate cancer, and he was getting treated for that for a really long time, and the medication wasn't working. So, yeah, basically he was moving into palliative care, and I was like, okay, well, like, make sure he's, like, super Roman Catholic, so make sure that you get a priest in there for him while he's still, like, conscious enough to know that's happening, and, like, make him really, really comfortable, like, you know, even though we didn't have a great relationship, I didn't want to be, like, mean-spirited.
Just get him up to, like, his back teeth and some tasty, tasty drugs.
Give him as much morphine as you possibly can, make sure he's, like, super comfy.
Are there laws against that? I've always wondered this.
What, like, over-morphining someone?
Yeah, like, or? When I get super sick in my old age, can I just, like, take the nurse aside and be like,
just okay, overdose just, you, basically?
Just keep me going. Just keep me going.
That's you just, know? That's what palliative care is.
Yeah.
Pretty really? Much is yeah. They just pump you full of mm-hmm. that stuff and you are just floating.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Pretty much. Like, I mean, they, yeah, it's kind of dark and
there's
weird, but
there's
something
comforting to that, though.
But yeah. There is, like, yeah, there are actually
things. They're
stingy
about the drugs in other.
Yeah, when
context.
You're in palliative, they're just like, hey, baby, it's your
whatever
day.
You want.
Like, great. Anything you want. You want some nachos, sweetie? You want...
I'll take some nachos and an ampule of Dilaudid, please.
Yeah, give me some Dilaudid and some Cool Ranch, Doritos, and I'll also, yeah, bring me a blunt that Rihanna rolled for me. And I'd be like, I will be done.
So you're saying...
Your make-a-wish is get a joint from Rihanna, basically.
Nice. Like,
yep.
I like it.
Even though she's 102 as well, I still want to join She-Roll.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, so that was good. And, yeah. Like, I really was trying to approach the whole thing trying to be, like, a kind-hearted person. Of
and
just,
you
like,
did.
Not,
you were.
Not, like, trying to hold a grudge or, like, take out any bad feelings. Just, yep. Like, you
anyone
know.
Anyone who's ever had an abusive childhood has fantasized about this moment.
Well, yeah.
And I think you made the right decision.
Well, I definitely fantasized about going to visit him. Taking some, like, fentanyl-cut heroin that I bought off of a person down the street and, like, injecting it into his, like, morphine thing and overdosing him.
Whoa.
But then I was just like, the real measure of my character is that I didn't do that.
Oh, wow.
It would have been pretty easy to do.
Really?
They just let me into the hospital.
You're, like,
just,
the
like,
sort of
you know.
Person who can get a hold of some fentanyl-based
oh, yeah.
heroin.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's not exactly regulated.
But I know, like, but, like, okay. Just let's
just go up to someone you know is selling drugs and be like, hello, I would like to buy some drugs.
Right?
I do have to tell you if I'm a cop, but I'm not, so.
I mean,
hey-o.
I enjoy my drugs, and I don't know the first thing about, I'd be, like, waltzing up into an alley and be like, hello, good sir, can I please have some drugs?
I would like one drug, please.
Yes.
But anyway, I like to think that it's like, you know, we all, so I always used to think that I was like such a bad person because I would have thoughts like that, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, I never acted on any of them, so therefore, like, that's the real measure, I think, of one's character.
Oh my god, dark thoughts are what sustain us sometimes.
Basically,
like,
right?
Yeah, but I knew you would never do something super
exactly.
dark.
So anyway, it was like, pretty good. And I went to visit him in hospice, and he wasn't really, like, alert, so he didn't really know that I was there, and mm-hmm. I kind of was just like, can he talk? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay, I'll visit him, because I really didn't want our last interaction to be him, like,
to be a fight.
Saying something rude or yeah. whatever.
Yeah, and then you have to think about that for the rest
exactly.
of your life.
So I just saw him being, like, a peaceful old man, basically, which was
yeah.
fine. And I found out, like, all the stuff around, like, his community mental health worker, which I didn't know he had, and
mm-hmm.
they diagnosed him with schizophrenia. Which is, like, quite the, it's like, okay, yeah, we were trying to get him, like, mental health support, like, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and nobody would help, and now he's finally got some support, so that was really good to
mm-hmm.
know that he was, like, being well taken care of.
Good closure for you,
it
too.
Was. And then I talked to his doctor, who delivered me, and, like, has known my dad since he's been in Canada, and I was like, why didn't anyone contact me, like, a year ago when he, like, got really sick
yeah.
and they connected him
to
mental health support?
If they had your contact information.
The government, like, the Public Guardian person had to, like, look me up in some directory, like, they did, like, my driver's license or something.
Backtraced
like
you.
Yeah.
They backtraced your IP, went in the back door.
they hacked you.
They doxed
they
me.
They hacked your planet.
The government doxed me.
You got doxed by the govs.
But the doctor guy was like, you know, if you had seen him a year ago, he was really volatile. Like, it would have been pretty bad.
So
he said, like, the doctor said to me, like, it's good, you know, that you didn't see him. So that gave me some nice closure. He let me know my dad wasn't really going to church at all. Really, so he had no, like, home church community, so he's like, don't worry about trying to plan, like, a Catholic service or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
so that was relieving.
Mm-hmm.
I basically, like, got sucked into making funeral arrangements, even though I didn't really want to, but it turned out pretty okay.
Yeah. Did you actually have to go to a funeral home?
Yes.
Did you, like, put him in a casket and everything?
No, so that was the...
Not you, was, personally, but,
it was honestly a little bit funny.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was my there. Experience at the funeral home was a little bit funny, too, which is why I'm asking.
Okay.
So, there's always a funny bit that happens, which is kind of
so,
nice.
Like, I went to the funeral home first, like, while he was still alive to, like, make the arrangements, and then I had to figure out what the government would pay for or what would, like, come out of his estate or whatever. And they were like, you know, do you want cremation or burial? And I wasn't really sure, but it's like there was no Catholic sort of cemetery that he was really a part of kind of thing. So we decided to go for cremation.
Burial is very expensive.
Very expensive. And then when the government kind of took it over, they were like...
We pay for cremation.
We pay for cremation. We don't really do anything else. And my dad didn't have a will, so the government was kind of just taking care of all of that stuff. Yeah, so... I found out about, like, all this other stuff. I'm not going to read all of these notes, basically, but, like, my dad was basically, like, pretty mentally ill for, like, a lot of times, was, like, stalking people. He has, like, a lot of court records, like, so it's kind of this, like, weird sort of, like, oh, other people experience this, too, so it wasn't just me. That's good to...
That's cool on, like, a I enjoy procedural dramas basis, where you get to, like, go into a dusty basement and, like, look at a series of interesting documents about psychiatric incidents. I mean, that's, like, a horror movie in the making.
That really resonates with me, too. Yeah. Like, that's, getting those peeks behind the curtain.
Yeah, interesting.
Is weird, brings up feelings, but there's also a bit of satisfaction there.
Totally.
Yeah, and, like, my mom and I basically, like, went out to Maple Ridge to go see the house that we used to live in, and it was all, like, overgrown and dilapidated and shit.
I saw it yesterday. It was very creepy.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was...
children's fairy tale where there's, like, a...
No, it was, like, Detroit.
Detroit, oh, okay.
Just lots of,
like, wet Detroit.
Just, like, husks of, like, old rusty cars and
but
stuff,
there was,
like,
beautiful houses nearby. Like, yeah, it was just kind of, like, oh,
He was that house on the street.
Exactly. Yeah. And, but my mom and I got to reminisce a bunch about, like, growing up, and he was, like, the stay-at-home dad, and she went back to work after 2 months after having me. If you can believe that, Noelle, like, your baby's 9 months old, like, could you imagine, like, immediately leaving her with your partner and, like, going to work every day
leaving
and, like...
her with your crazy partner.
Yeah, who, like, he seemed to not really deal with the stress well, like, looking after an infant, and, like...
Yeah, well, I mean, that's definitely stressful.
But, anyway, it was just, like, an interesting thing to look at, like, it wasn't, you know, my childhood wasn't sort of as bad as I thought, but there was also a lot of, like, it brought up some things around, like, oh, it seemed like my dad didn't really even ever want me around, even though he, like, laid on the guilt really thick when I wasn't there, but as soon as I would go to visit, like, he would just be, oh, I'm too exhausted, and, like, go, like, hide in the dark in the basement, basically, and I'd just be left to my own devices kind of thing, so it's, like, not super fun.
I mean...
unpredictable and kind of inconsistent and
But also, like, I've done some research into this in relation to my own past, and I think people who have narcissistic tendencies tend to value their relationships from a standpoint of outside looking in. You know, like, my daughter's visiting me this weekend, not like we're gonna do all these cool things together, you know?
But something that he would then recount, like, oh, exactly. My daughter visited me, blah, blah, blah.
She was so happy to be here.
So it's less important about what you actually do, and more important that he has his daughter with him.
Something that reinforces his own narrative.
Exactly.
So, like, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia. His doctor said, I don't know if that's actually that accurate, because he just has had this personality all the time, so that's just how he is, which isn't, like, super helpful, doctor.
Right.
And then, like, we could, you know, my mom and I were talking about borderline personality disorder. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a few things, but we, you know, I have friends that have that as well.
And they manage it very
well. They manage it very well, so it's just, like, that's no excuse of, like, being a total...
No.
You know, you can't let things go totally unchecked and not work on things.
There's something, like, when you get reasons that aren't excuses, it's something, but it's just not enough.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an amuse-bouche of the emotions.
I mean...
Leaves you hungry.
Anyone who has ever experienced mental illness and is actually more or less sane will tell you that they would not like to be defined by those things.
Exactly.
And therefore, it isn't an excuse unless you'd like to use it that way.
It's just a part of your bigger picture.
Yeah, it is part of the bigger picture, exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, anyway, it was just pretty weird to, like, get contacted by the government, and then it started getting, like, oh, okay, do you want to manage his estate? What's going to happen? Do you want to be the executor of the will? He didn't actually leave a will.
Yeah, I do.
Well, so I asked around, and to, like, administer the estate, is, like, years of work and just, like, really complicated stuff.
Oh, you can't, like, hire someone to do that for you?
Probably could.
Just have power of attorney?
Probably could, but the easiest thing to do is having the government sort of just take care of it. So
the government takes care of it?
Yeah, so the public guardian and trustee, if you don't have a will, so this is a hot tip to everyone, like, make a will.
Make a will!
Fucking make a will, because I got so stressed out about not knowing what his, like, actual wishes would be until I finally just had to be like, you know, we'll never know, and he actually has no say anymore. Like, I just have to do whatever.
Yeah.
But that felt not great. So, like, leave a will so that people actually know what to do and you don't make your loved ones feel guilty and shitty.
I have a baby
shitty.
Now, so I should probably do that.
Ooh, you should most certainly make a will.
I'm honestly, I really want a living will in a big way, because I know that God love my partner, she will do anything to keep me alive if anything happens to me.
And
if,
you
like,
do not want that.
If my head gets crushed by a garbage truck or something like that, I don't want to be, you know, tooting around.
Adrian
and
I have a suicide pact, like, not like a real suicide pact, but like, you know, let's not have heroics kind of
And this is like
put
a dark thing
that misery
I really do, like, it's something I can't really talk about with my wife, because it's too upsetting for her. She's been through a lot in her life and she's lost people very traumatically, and so I get it, like, I understand it, but it's something that I'm like, I better write this down somewhere so that, like, my wishes are actually, like, at the fore. But I tell you, my parents are so open about this kind of thing. Both of them are still alive and in very good health, but they're real goth when it comes to death, honestly. Like, I tried to write a stand-up joke about it, but it just won't coalesce in a way that isn't creepy. About how my parents are like, if things start going south for us, you know, in terms of our mental faculties, our ability to take care of ourselves, and our ability to enjoy our lives, we want you to straight up murder us.
That's an crazy thing to ask of your children.
Yeah. That's what I said, right? So I'm just like, please put that into your will that you want euthanasia or whatever, so that I don't have to straight up, like, push you guys off a cliff or something.
You know, I once had a roommate in university who was a nurse, and her mother was a nurse too, and they had a suicide pact, and it involved a vodka injection, which apparently is really difficult to detect because you just have a really high blood alcohol level. And, like, if you're already in the hospital, you probably have a series of injection marks anyway. Now, I mean, I don't know enough about science to actually do this, but there you go.
I learned a thing from, like, crime procedural shows, speaking insulin. Yeah, you just, like, get a big shot of insulin.
That was a hot tip,
like,
we had on the podcast a couple weeks ago, I think. It came up, and so that's why I was thinking
about dark
it,
thoughts about that time, I think.
Dark thoughts about that time.
But if you just, like, you just, like, shoot someone full of insulin, you go into basically a diabetic coma and can die. Like, that's a reason
why. What does it feel like?
Apparently just.
Who knows?
I think you just kind of, like, pass out. Like, you go into sort of a coma. So it seems pretty peaceful, and then it just, like, dissipates in your body. They can't detect that you've had a turn.
I have to imagine, like, it probably, I don't know, because nobody's ever, like, died and been alive again to tell us, but I have to imagine it's quite a little bit.
You can go into a diabetic shock or whatever and be resuscitated.
Okay, but I haven't done it.
Oh, yes, okay.
The only thing I've ever done is either passed out from drinking or weed or been put under.
Passed out from weed?
Fall asleep.
Edibles.
Oh, okay.
Like, taking
edibles.
Like,
yes.
It's something you choose to
say
do.
No
you're
more,
like,
say no more.
You're like, oh, can't keep these eyes open anymore. Love all you. I'll see you on the other side.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Which is me, 100%. I don't remember what we were talking about.
You're talking about
weed.
Insulin.
Going
coma,
into some kind of a coma.
Right, okay.
Know,
the only time
like
I've ever been put under was to get my wisdom teeth out. And I know that they don't do that for everybody. A lot of people get twilight sleep
Lucky.
Or whatever. But I was like, I don't want to be awake for it at all. And they're like, oh, your insurance pays for everything except the except for general anesthesia. And that's an extra $200. And my dad was like, I'll pay it. I'm like, knock my shit out, please, Dr. Bahi.
Nice.
That was his name. And his, well, the reason I asked for it is because his hands were the size of baseball mitts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I woke up and I had, like, these deep cracks in the side of my tiny little mouth because but you know what? He popped them all out, didn't break a single one, and they were all, like, still under my gums. So, but when I went under, I was like, there's no way this is going to work. like, count backwards from 10. I was like, whatever, 10, 9,
what do you mean, like, there's no way this is gonna work?
Well, I was just like, there's no way. Like, I'm very strong and large. Like, I'm sure this will not function the way you want it to. And then, like, by 8, I was out like a light.
And then
I was awake, and I had a mouthful of tampons. And I was talking to the nurse, like, I love you. I love you. And I want to send you 100 thank you cards. Please write your address and put it into my pocket. And she did. Wow. And I ended up sending her a thank you card saying, thank you for patting my hair while I was unconscious.
I had several hospital stays last year, and the nurses, man, they're like superheroes.
I love nurses.
It's a thankless job. Like, mm-hmm. I went to St. Paul's and had emergency surgery when I was pregnant, and, like, that's just where they brought me. Don't even ask how I got to St. Paul's, but it's crazy there. There are people, like, running in the hallways, getting restrained by security and yelling out crazy stuff. There was a woman tied to the bed in the next stall to me going, release me. Like, making creepy sounds and, like, you know, and I'm
just... Some exorcist vulture.
Dude, and...
Quade, start the reactor.
Dude, it was so funny. She's going, untie me.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Can I just interject with something that past guest Justin O'Hearn posted on Facebook last night? It was like, a woman got on to the bus that he was on at the back door. She was not wearing pants at all. And she said, hi, everybody. What's up? My name is Rose Petal, and I'm the underdog.
Wow. Like, no pants, like vag all the
way? I didn't get clarification. I assume underwear.
Wow.
And just like, I'm the underdog. Like, yes, you are, sweetheart.
Wow.
And we're all rooting for you. I hope she got home safe.
Like,
so do I.
Like, I throw a kiss up to the heavens for that because I love a wild woman. I love a woman that's just wildcatting, you know?
Damn.
So that's a release for me.
Yeah. And anyway, those poor nurses just like, you know, and they're trying to be nice
Earth.
And like, anyway, they're complete angels. Not to mention like the horrific crap that they have to deal with on a basic, like gore and like, mm-hmm. yeah,
shit.
I mean,
and barf
but they,
and
they
all that
anesthetized you like pretty good, I guess. You had to go under the
you know,
sweet morphine.
Every time I go to the hospital for some sort of like emergency, if you guys don't know anything about me, you people
Which
on the internet
likely don't.
Yeah. A lot of weird things have happened to me from a medical standpoint. Weird things that you've never heard of until it happens to you, and then you hear about it. So, like, the first time that I had to go to the hospital and then I ended up with random surgery was, well, the second time, because the first time was when I was 3. But anyway, I got an infection, like a mosquito bite, and then
that.
It turned into like basically flesh eating disease.
Oh
and
my
I had
God.
To go to the emergency
room.
Yeah,
you're room the MRSI or whatever.
Yeah, MRSA. Yeah.
MRSA.
So, anyway, like, I don't know how you get random MRSA, but like, they were convinced I was a heroin addict, and they were like, you know, if your mother could step out of the room for a second so we can ask you about your intravenous drug use. And I'm like, I'm not an intravenous drug user. I just have an infection. So
I only made Sangrawana those 5 times.
Dude, totally.
Because you went and did mushrooms and got some kind of a mosquito bite in the woods?
No, it was just a mosquito bite. I was working as a bartender at the time,
right.
And I think I probably just, like, was staying up too late and, mm-hmm. like, my immune system wasn't in great shape or something.
Right.
Anyway, so they had to, like, cut my leg open and stuff it with cotton. That's Oof. What happens when you have
yeah.
a crazy infection. And so anyway, I'm lying on the table and they're doing twilight sleep, which is, like, pretty trippy stuff.
Yeah.
And so this guy comes in, the anesthesiologist, and he's got all these, like, I remember it vividly. He's got, like, all these syringes that are, like, color-coded. And
mm-hmm.
one of them was red, and one of them was, like, yellow, and one of them was blue. And he's like, hey, okay, so I'm gonna, like, shoot you full of this stuff first, and this is the local, so that we can give you then a series of injections, which will then, like, you know, put you into conscious sedation, and then we're gonna cut you open and stuff your leg with cotton. And I'm like, okay. So they give me the first shot, and they're like, this is the local, and they're poking my leg, and everything's fine, right? So he's like, all right, I'm going to give you this one, and you're going to go to sleep, but you won't really be asleep.
Yeah.
Just let me know how you feel after I inject this.
Going to a parallel dimension.
Yeah, so he injects me, and I'm, like, sitting there and looking at him and going, okay, well, like, how long should this take to kick in? And they're like, well, I guess if you have to ask, we need to give you another one. So he, like, pulls out another needle and gives it to me, and I'm still standing there going, well, you know, I'm feeling a little dizzy, but... You know, he's like, well, I don't give her another one. So 4 shots later,
oh, no.
I was finally under. And this has become a theme every time I go to the hospital. It's like we have to go through the song and dance of I have a crazy tolerance to all the things. And not because I use all the things, but
yeah.
because I just...
Your tank.
People are different.
Yeah.
And I have a ridiculous metabolism, apparently. So... Anyway, like, at my recent trip to the hospital where my ovary almost exploded and killed me while I was pregnant...
Did you have, like, a cyst that ruptured or something? Or?
I had a cyst that caused ovarian torsion, so... For all you folks at home who don't know what that is, it's like when your ovary balloons to a crazy size and becomes really heavy, and then it hangs down on the fallopian tube and then twists around, cutting off blood circulation, causing all kinds of fun stuff. So anyway, I'm at the hospital screaming in pain. This was before I went through childbirth, obviously.
Was that worse?
Oh, yeah. So anyway, I'm screaming and freaking out and, like, I was throwing up. I was in so much pain. And so she gives me this shot of morphine, and obviously nothing happens, and I'm still freaking out, and, like, 4 or 5 shots of morphine later, they're like, okay, give her some Dilaudid, like, really, give her something. So finally, I was on, like, the highest dose of Dilaudid that they were willing to give me was the one that was fine, and finally the nurse came over and was like, how much pain are you in? I was like, I feel so good. Sent me up to the MRI machine, and, like, they're like, you might feel a little bit, like, claustrophobic, so here's this emergency button. I was like, you know what, I feel so good.
I'm not even gonna need that button.
Yeah, I don't even need that button. They were, like, trying to remind me
just
not
put
to
put on some traveling Wilburys for me, would you?
Yeah, it was pretty intense. So, anyway, at the hospital, it was the same thing. I needed more epidural.
Mm-hmm. We were worried about that, because they gave you, I was with Noala as her doula, when she had her baby, and, like, they gave you some morphine and gravel to, like, send you home to go to sleep, and you're like, you're gonna need to give me more, and they're like, no, you're in labor.
Yeah, that
like,
actually worked pretty well, though. Yeah. But I had been sober for 9 months then by that point, yeah. So anything at that point is like, wow, like,
woo!
A coffee is like, I feel crazy. So, yeah.
But then the epidural, they had to, like, keep...
Oh, yeah, so the epidural is fentanyl, for any of you who didn't know that.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so I've had large amounts of fentanyl now.
But just only in the lower half of your
only
body, which is weird.
Only the lower half of my body, yeah.
But, like, it doesn't, it's weird that they can localize it like that.
Yeah, and not only that, but it's, like, gravity-based, so they have you constantly turning from your left side to your right side, because it, like, sinks down to one side of your body.
My old office manager at the job that I had before I went back to school, she told us a story about, like, when she had her baby, because she had her baby when she was, like, 35, 36 or whatever, so high risk and then stress attached to it, so she had an epidural, but it only took on one side, and she just told that story.
I've heard this story,
like,
dozens of times from different women about the epidural only working on one side. Mm-hmm. It's horrifying.
But for you, it worked really good, and I remember...
So good!
I remember, because, like,
so
you know...
So happy when you got it.
I've got such a, like, the doula thing where I'm like, and let's try to natural and this and that, and, like, because I was always a little afraid of an epidural thing, because
so
it's, like...
So was I. They make it sound,
they make
like
it sound
you're
really
bad. Accidentally get paralyzed.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, and then, you know, you won't be able to get up and move around, you'll just be, like, stuck, blah, 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 and so I was like, oh, I don't
they
know,
give
but...
you a binder. And it's like the...
In
like,
between contractions, you're trying to read this.
Yeah, they're like, oh, so you want an epidural? Here's this binder. And it's like all the information. It's like, okay, come on, guys. Like, I'm in the worst pain of my life. I've been in labor for like 50 hours by now. Like, I can't read this thing. So at that point, I was in, like, I was super silly on like the laughing gas and between contractions. I was like, yay, I'm not in horrible pain. So I made a joke and I was like, they should call this binder So You Want an Epidural. And so then the anesthesiologist walks in and she's like, so, you want an epidural? Yeah,
but then it's
so
like after...
you ruined your life.
Yes. And you know, to be honest, at the time it felt like a failure, but it was the best decision ever. Mm-hmm. The next time, which there won't be ever a next time, I'm gonna, you know, imaginarily walk into the hospital and be like, hook me up, Scotty.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh just give me an epidural and induce me and let me read a magazine.
Well,
I used to be sure I wanted a kid and I was sure that I wanted to do like home birth, no drugs.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of like, don't want a kid, but if I did, I'd be like, let's welcome me to like the most futuristic hospital suite you've got. Mm-hmm. I want what Beyonce had. I want like... Yeah, the whole
But you
shebang.
Know what? Honestly, it depends on the cards that you're dealt. Like, mm-hmm. my friend Angie had a 14-hour labor. Like, after 14 hours, I was fine. I would have been able to push that baby out with no drugs, no problem, after 14
it's
hours.
It's just, it took so long that you were so fucking tired.
I was
tired.
So tired, and, like, not only tired, but, like, beginning to panic with the intensity of how it was getting... Yeah, it
yeah.
was...
It's a scary thing.
It was really scary. Yeah.
But I definitely, like, you've sort of demystified the epidural for me a little bit, where it's just like, I don't feel so, like, I'll put that on my list now. Like, I still want to try to
But you're like, hey, if I ask for this, don't deny it to me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I definitely am much more willing to consider it
yeah.
again. So that's really awesome. And it's just, it was great, because then you were just able to sleep, and then you woke up, and then you were still able to push out the baby, and it was wonderful.
Now you got a baby.
I know, and the stoner in me was like, can I still have the gas if you give me the epidural?
What did they say?
She was like, no, you won't need the gas. She was right, obviously. I had been in so much pain, I was like, please don't take the gas away
I'm
from
just
me.
Like, can I just have it, like, just for me?
Yeah, like,
because, let's be honest, nitrous, pretty cool.
It's pretty fun.
It's pretty fun. I like it a lot. I have never had a baby. I just did it illicitly.
I tried to do it illicitly years ago, and I was a little, like, freaked out by the whole inhale, exhale balloon experience.
Oh, yeah?
Has anyone ever done this at, like, a festival?
You just gotta get a fucking whipped cream container.
Oh, well. Apparently there's a better
way. It's an investment. Whippets. My parents once caught me trying to, like, crack open one of theirs because I saw it on the internet when I was, like, 15, and they came home, like, right as I'm trying to, they're like, what are you doing? I was like, literally there's nothing else that I could be doing than what I'm doing right now.
I was like, trying to make whipped cream.
Obviously, I heard this would be cool, and I wanted to try it. Brenda. So I'll thank you not to stare.
My teeth really hurt, and yeah. I Googled it.
So I'm going to do some home dentistry, even though I have a full... There was definitely Google back then.
Oh my god.
I remember the first internet interface I had was a Yahoo splash page that was just all links. It was just links. Just like, hey, maybe you'd like this. And I'm like, maybe I will.
Early days of the internet.
The early days.
ICQ.
Uh-oh. Just hit their 20th anniversary recently.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
That exists still?
I had a hilarious... I should really have my friend... We need to get my friend Janessa on this show, honestly, because okay. She's the person that I, like, got onto the internet. Like, I was the gateway dealer when it came to that, so I got her first Hotmail address, which was princessness@hotmail.com. Yeah. And I set her up with ICQ, and we all got our first, like, ICQ relationships that way. Like, flirting with cute babes online. Good times, right?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
That's when I discovered erotic fiction.
Oh, yeah.
12 years old.
Like, fan fiction type stuff?
I don't know how I got down that rabbit hole. The internet's a dark and doomy place sometimes.
Mysterious.
Just people writing, yeah, erotica, basically.
Yeah, but, like, for a young teenage girl experiencing her...
Reading it is so much better than looking at it.
Yes!
Yeah, my God.
Yeah. I still prefer it to, like, the crappy lesbian kissing, you know, like...
La 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 la.
Not yep. that I watch crappy lesbian kissing to, like, get my rocks off, but no, that was the only
like
example.
The hands with
like.
The talons on it. Like, yeah, I'm gonna finger you so good. Like,
ew,
please don't! Oh, God! Please don't!
Cut your nails.
They're like, God. They like just like sort of slap it a little.
Yeah.
It's just like, pat, 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 pat.
Awful.
Pat, pat, pat. Mom and Dad, please don't listen to this. Mom and Dad, don't listen to this.
So my dad's funeral.
So your dad's funeral.
How did we get so far away from the topic?
So you,
I apologize if this is my fault.
No, it's probably mine. So your dad's funeral.
No, I'll just go back a little bit.
Just backtrack.
Basically, like, so I just, anyway, my mom helped me out. She, like, wrote his obituary, which was really nice. And she found, like, a really cute picture of him.
I was just going to say, palliative care drugs is how we got here.
Oh, palliative
here.
Care drugs.
Oh, yes!
Yes.
Morphine!
Good.
So, yeah, your mom. So, and then your mom.
Yeah, my mom found this, like, picture of him. She's like, oh, we'll find, like, a nice picture. The only really nice pictures I have of him are, like, our wedding photos, so I'll just, like, crop me out of them. But then she found this picture of him, like... sitting in an easy chair with a salad.
Eating a plate of salad like he's got a mouthful.
And it's just like, oh, it's so nice. He just looks so happy here with his salad. So that was the picture on the little program at the funeral home.
Yeah,
which was nice. And then so on Tuesday, I got to go to my dad's house. So the government, I did decide that the government was going to administer the estate, which means that they basically clean the whole house, clear out all the stuff, sell everything, and then give me the money. Which
nice.
Is, like...
Sounds good.
Pretty good. Because I'm his only living child and he doesn't have a spouse, so that's the order of succession. By the Wills and Successions Act of British Columbia, which I actually had to read for work already, and so I was familiar with. But so they were like, you know, because you're the one that's going to inherit, you can go to the house and you can see if there's anything that you want to keep as, like, a physical object. And I went in there and it was just, like, hoarder's paradise, basically. Just, like...
Been spending most our lives.
Just, like... clippings of, like, newspaper articles, like, all over the walls, like, just, like, the house was super leaky and, like, old, and so there were just, like, buckets of stagnant water everywhere, everything was, like, sticky, like, it was just, like, kind of awful.
Did you find, like, a dungeon in the basement?
No, because, like, I knew where everything, the investigators were kind of funny, they're like, oh, you can go look around. I immediately went to his bedroom downstairs, and I was like, here's where all the crystal is, and just, like, showed them, like, here's where all the valuables were kept, like, and this box hasn't been opened for 40 years, you know? Like,
40 years! Careful, so, I bet there's, like, a stack of Playboys from, like, the 70s.
There was a giant Pamela Anderson life-size cardboard cutout.
You're joking!
No, I'm not joking.
Life-size?
Yeah.
Did you set it on fire?
And a lot of like, male virility, like, advertisements for, like, pills, and he had a lot of fedoras that I don't remember. He was very much a men's rights activist for a while, like, getting into, like, father's rights, and women get all the rights in divorce court. Like, he really went down that rabbit hole. So he had so many fedoras that I didn't remember. It was really awful to find those.
Just, like, create a bonfire and burn them and just see this, like, the ghosts come out.
A giant fedora.
Actually.
But I also found a lot of wigs that were, like Mozart or, like, Judge or whatever.
Did you keep any of this?
No. But then I found all these...
I kept some things.
Then I found all these costumes. So these, like, beautifully tailored, like, silk waistcoats and jackets.
What?
I'll show you them. They're downstairs. I'm like, these can't just get thrown out or thrown into an auction block. Like, what they were doing was sorting through, like, what's a personal item? So I'm going to have this bin full of, like, pictures and letters and stuff that they're going to give me eventually. And what is something that might have value that we can put in, like, this big auction lot so some Storage Wars aficionado can basically take it and, like, go through it. Mm-hmm. And what's just garbage. Mm. So they were, like, shoveling stuff out, basically. Like, there was so much stuff. Whoops. And they were like, oh, the house is so, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, this basically looks like what I grew up in, though. Just, like, a little bit worse, but not that much worse.
Oh, boy.
But these costumes, I'm like, can I take these? Like, they don't have any monetary value. I want to donate them to a theater company because they're beautiful.
Cool.
And I found two, like, capes that look like Pope robes. And so I'm totally going to go as Cardinal Voiello from The Young Pope for Halloween. It's going
to
be amazing.
I need to see this fucking show,
this show,
man.
Is so good. Have you seen The Young Pope?
I haven't. The first you've heard of it?
No, it is not.
You must.
How can you miss out on something that's called The Young Pope?
It's about a pope who's
this
too
pope
young.
This pope is too young!
So I would recommend... recommended reading, or listening. Recommended listening for our listeners. Merritt Kay and Eric do a podcast called Papal Bull, and it's a companion podcast, like a recap podcast for The Young Pope, and it's so good. And they go through and they, like, research all the artwork that's in every scene. Like, they basically built a whole replica of, like,
The Vatican. Chris, did you tell me that they try to get the Pope to vape in an episode of The Young Pope?
Yes.
But he's too cool to vape, so he just keeps to cigarettes.
Yeah, so basically...
Wait a second, this is, like, a modern story?
I thought it wasn't when I looked it up. I'm like, this has to be set in the 50s or 60s.
No.
It's not. It's surrealist.
It's basically, like, an alternate timeline, and we don't know when it is, but it's presumably after...
Oh, I thought it was, like, historical young pope that was so young.
No, there hasn't been a young pope in 40 years!
But okay,
way longer than 40 years.
On the Papal Bull podcast, they actually research. They do a Pope of the Week, and
was
so
the youngest
they research the youngest Pope was like a 10-year-old.
That's too young to
basically
pope.
His rich daddy like bought him the papacy in like the 1200s or something.
He's
like
too
that.
Young to pope.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But yeah, because there's like a law in the Vatican that John Paul II made it so that no one can smoke in the Vatican. And so then Jude Law, who is the young pope.
He's the youngest pope.
Oh, so handsome.
He's not really that young.
Well, he's like 50, but that's young for a pope.
No.
So like a fresh, that's a pope chicken, if you ever.
But so he like lights up a cigarette and then someone else is like, oh, you can't smoke in the Vatican. And then.
He's like, I'm the pope.
And then he does, and then someone else asks, oh, Holy Father, can I have a cigarette? He's like, no, there's no smoking in the Vatican. And he's the only one that can smoke. And they try to get him to vape. They bought him a vape pipe.
A papal vape.
And he wouldn't use it.
We
get it.
Bowl.
You're the fucking pope and you vape. Okay. We get it.
We get it. You vape.
We get it.
Anyway, so
you've been spending a lot of time with internet memes, haven't you?
Actually, my husband is like... the vapiest vaporer of
he really
all
is.
The vapers who've ever vaped across vape lines.
I don't think it's that bad.
Well,
I'd rather if you were like, "Hey, Katie, would you like to date someone who vapes or smokes cigarettes?" I'd be like, "I'll take the vape, but like, do I have any further choice in this?"
Well, in my mind, it's like, you know, whatever he wants to do. If he wants to like blow large amounts of vapor, that's cool. I mean,
yeah, if you want to just rip those sweet cumulonimbus clouds. You just want to rip fat cotton. With apologies to the McElroy brothers.
It's pretty funny. God. He's, like, really into, like, he builds the whole thing from scratch, like, every couple of days. It's not just the average.
Oh, yeah, no, I stood up to stretch and then I was doing a weird sound, probably. But, yeah, no, my friend's husband is also
a really hardcore
like,
vapor.
Into yes! like, I'm modding my vape tank.
Yes! This is Adrian. Totally.
Oh, my goodness.
It's really dorky, but it also is kind of cool. And then if I ever try to take a pull off a vape, I'm just like...
Oh, it's disgusting.
It hurts a lot.
I don't like just, it smells like weird cotton candy shit. Like,
I have my own vices. I'm glad he's got vices. Mm-hmm. Vices are great.
Vices, yeah. Somebody who doesn't have any. It's mysterious. It's mysterious to me. Mm-hmm. Past guest, Steve Venegas, who is a teetotaler, a straight edge fella, who's just a dad.
Mm-hmm.
That's his thing. Doesn't appear to have any vices, but I realize, oh, dad humor is his vice.
Everybody's got a vice.
He definitely made a photo meme that he put up yesterday that was, it was him, like, doing his hair in the morning, where he's, like, holding Brill cream and thinking, a little dab will do me, and then there's a picture of him dabbing, like, doing the dance move. And then in the next picture, his hair is fully styled, and I was like, oh,
how dare
if you didn't smoke, if you smoked weed, you wouldn't do this kind of thing.
Oh my god, you guys, have you actually seen that dab song?
What dab song?
The dab song.
The dab song?
Like, there's a video. That's not what you were referencing just now?
Well, it must be. Dance? It's just that as a marijuana aficionado, dab means something different to me.
Yes, it does. Well, but, okay, well anyway, there's a terrible rap video that's like every stereotype about a rap song ever. It's like dab bitch I can't even that's actually what the lyrics of the songs are. I'm
just
not even
dab making... bitch.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, anyway,
anywho.
Back to the dead father.
Yeah, so
back to your dead dad.
Yeah.
Talk about sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry,
it's,
we're doing the best we can to remain
this
on
is,
topic.
This is exactly what I wanted. Everyone's like, "Are you sure you want a podcast the day after his funeral?" I'm like, with my close friends
yes.
who can joke about this in a dark way, and like,
oh, yes.
you've gone through this yourself, Noelle, with a not so good dad.
Too many times.
Yeah.
Two times too many.
So yeah, I also found like a perfectly mint condition Mercedes Benz convertible in the garage that like there was like 8 husks of gross cars outside and this perfectly maintained like
that'd be worth a
dove gray. So I kind of want to drive it.
You rent it out to movies.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. So
well, I mean, the shell. We
can look
like,
into renting out things to the movie industry together. Me, my child, you, your dead father's car.
I don't have anything to offer the film industry.
Your snake.
My snake. She's
yes.
very, very docile.
Your snake.
Yeah, there you go.
Your snake and her baby in my convertible.
Let's put a snake and a baby in a convertible
Let's
together.
Let's go on, like, one of those female road trips, like...
Thelma and Louise,
yeah.
but it's River and Sappho, which sounds
Is
like
a
real...
drive?
This is like a children's book that should exist.
Mm-hmm.
Sappho and River.
Yeah.
The snake who was a friend. She's very docile. I'm thinking, like, somebody was like, well, could a ball python kill a person? I'm like, maybe a brand new infant. Like, I feel like River at 9 months could kick the shit out of my snake.
Maybe.
Like, the snake could maybe squeeze her, but wouldn't, like.
Mm-hmm.
She's got some sharp teeth.
Well, the snake does too, but the snake has never bitten me, so I don't know. I'm just like, someone was like, what could your snake kill? I'm like, it's never killed anything. It doesn't know how, by accident, maybe like a really
Wait a
weak,
minute.
Crappy
Does
baby.
Does it eat, like, frozen mice or something?
Yeah. They're thawed. They're not alive.
Because
if they're alive, they put up a fight. And they're domesticated...
But that's, like, half the fun.
But they're domesticated snakes, right? So they're cream puffs. You treat them.
Train
them to not bite you, basically.
Oh, okay.
So then, when they're confronted with something alive, it's just going to fuck their shit up.
Clang.
Yeah, I love how you looked at, like you were doing it so quiet.
What is she doing, listeners? Send in your guesses to cheghagspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Just pour him wine. Sorry to remove the secrecy of everything, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, my snake's not a murderer, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about the funeral?
Yeah. We definitely can. Sorry.
I'm just going to keep us on task while you guys diverge. It's great. I really am enjoying this a lot. We basically had this funeral. It was very, like, low-key. Just, like, at the funeral home, they just, like, put out some tea and coffee and, like, a podium. And my mom wrote, like, a nice sort of recap of his life a little bit. And I just wasn't sure who was going to come. So my aunt showed up, my mom's friend showed up, which is good, and then I had Ed phone some people. So there was my dad's neighbor who had, like, gotten in touch with me, and then there was this woman that, I guess, visited my dad at the hospice and left a message for me to get in touch with her, and I had, like, spoken to her on the phone, and she was a bit like, oh, your dad just would have loved to see you, and it's so sad that you weren't in contact, and you should really go see him, blah, 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 and I was just like, I did see him in the hospital, like, mind your own fucking business, lady, like, I was not very nice to her on the phone. The neighbor showed up and they were really nice, but they kind of made me feel a little sad. It's just like, oh, your dad just loved you the most out of everything. They would like sit on the back porch and like drink tea and my dad would just talk about me the whole time. And it was just kind of like, it felt kind of guilt trippy, but I just decided to not take it that way. And he was like, and the guy was like, oh yeah. And I would like pull up your Facebook page and show your dad like pictures from your Facebook and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, that's a violation of privacy. I thought I had privacy settings on there. And the guy was like, seemed really nice and really well-intentioned, but, like, super naive. And he was just like, oh, no, I feel so bad. And, and then I was like, listen, I don't want to ruin your fond memories of my dad or whatever. Yeah. Like, so you can have that, but just know, like, there's multiple sides to any story, you know. And the guy was like, he had lived next door to my dad for, like, 10 years. And he's like, in the last couple years, your dad would, like, really, he was going off the deep end a little bit. And he would, like, take, like, his paintings that he painted, like, throw them off his porch. And then, like, call the neighbor and get him to, like, bring them back inside. So, like, these neighbors were, like, looking after this, like, old man, which was really kind. Like, so he had lots of nice people sort of around him that were
they
looking after
very
him.
Very sweet people.
Very sweet, but, like, kind of naive and just,
well,
like...
Well, I listened to you... I've always heard you tell me stories about you, like, holding boundaries with people, and I've always been, like, very impressive, but I got to see it in action yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, you were so gentle with them, but you were so firm at the same time. You were just like, hey... I really thought that was private, and you probably shouldn't have done that. Like, that's my life, and I mean, I get that you want to help him, but all that stuff, and I was just like, oh my god, I'm getting a master class in how to protect myself but not be a dick about it? Like, you were not mean at all. I could tell that he felt bad, but I also just kind of like, well, he didn't think about it. Naive, right?
Yeah.
Not malice, but...
Not at all.
But you never treated it like it was malice, and you never were short with him. You're just kind of like, well, you know, it was complicated, and I mean, I loved him, and you loved him, so... Great.
And I just kept saying
to
them,
like... It takes a lot of mental energy to even bother to do something like that.
I know.
She could have done two other things. She could have been super rude just out of anger and frustration.
Yeah.
Or you could have just not mentioned it and said yes and smiled and nodded.
But you did the hard thing.
Without correcting them. You know... You stayed true.
Take the middle way.
The true.
Yeah.
Very impressive. No, I meant to tell you about it yesterday, but it was still so fresh, right? And I just wanted to think about it some more.
Praise
where I was
me
just
a
like,
bit,
oh,
right?
I will always praise you. But I was just like, I was just sort of sitting there going like, this is uncomfortable, this is uncomfortable, this is uncomfortable. And thinking like, boy, I sure want to run away right now. But I was also just kind of like, no, I'm here. And she's fine. Like, she's just she can take care of herself, no problem.
Yeah. And so, like, I took some of their kind words that they said where it's just like, yeah, your dad loved you very much. And definitely I cried a little bit and stuff. And it was fine.
No, it was quite beautiful.
Yeah. And we, like, we played, like, an Andrea Bocelli song. And everyone just, like, sat quietly and listened. And, you know, had some tears and stuff. But then it was, like, good. Everyone got to, like, chat a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some mobsters showed up.
Thought it was the Russian mob
or Hungarian mob
Hungarian
or something
mob, yeah.
I don't think they'll
that
actually
exists in Vancouver.
I have no idea, but these two very stoic Eastern European men showed up
in suits.
So it was the father and the son. They each had
a fucking funeral after all.
I know, but we were cash, we were playing it simple.
Okay.
I mean, I dressed up
one
really
suit
good.
Does not a mafia
so,
mate
someone did show up in jeans, so
yeah.
Okay, all right.
that would be my partner.
This
no it was
Vancouver.
Somebody else I was looking at, but
yeah, I dressed up pretty
Ed
cute.
Ed wore his dress work pants.
Yeah, I wore like...
You looked great.
I basically kind of dressed in Pope cosplay.
Yeah, she had a clip from the Pope robe she took from her dad's place and wore it on her cool blazer.
Was there a tasteful black net?
No,
there
I didn't
had been
go
some
that
discussion.
Far. I was going to go so dramatic, but it would have been...
It would have looked so out of place in that little room.
Yeah.
I know, but I've always wanted to wear a tasteful black.
Yes, well, if we wound up doing a Catholic mass, I was going to go full, like, weeping Madonna, full basically. Weeping Madonna. Yeah. But in this, I just, tasteful, you know, I'm basically. Glad.
You
like,
look fantastic.
Black dress, black boots, like, blazer, whatever. But so these guys show up, not just because they were in suits, but he, like, shows up, he's like, hello. And it's like, oh, hi, how do you, you know, I'm Christina, this is my dad, how do you know my dad? I've known him for 3 years.
I love him.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, how do you know my dad? I love him. Oh.
I kiss him okay. The way man kiss man.
In steamy room.
But just so, this was the husband of the wife that I was rude to on the phone, and he was just very stoic, and like, she didn't show up, I guess she had to work or something, but this was the family, and they just were like, I loved your dad. And they just didn't talk to anybody and just sat in the corner. And my mom went over and talked to them a little bit, and they were pretty, like, stone cold with her. Like, you wonder what my dad had told people about us, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows? So they seemed pretty, like...
Severe.
And then when I played the Andrea Bocelli song, they stood up and, like, bowed their heads, and it was very, like, whatever. And then the guy just, like, after everyone had said something about my dad... And then we played the song, and I was like, cool, thanks, we're done. And the guy stood up, and he's like, I just have two words to say, love and thank you. And then they left, and I was
that's
like,
three words.
I know!
But they brought two livid red roses and just left them on the settee, you know, like.
Oh, it was just really extra.
In communist Russia.
They were Hungarian,
funeral
mourns
you. Something like that, yeah.
It was so
roses.
Strange.
Oh my god, it just seemed like super severe.
Can I share my funny bit from
yes.
the, it was just that I think Ed asked, you know, well, what do we do with the ashes? And you said, I don't know, I don't even know where they are. And I was just like, they're over there. Like, there's just a box of dad
hey,
over by the floral arrangement.
Suggestion of mine about what we should do with the ashes?
Sending them to Poland?
To the Vatican.
Yeah.
Surely there's a service.
To your, dear the Vatican, please distribute these to your youngest pope. That he may vape them.
Oh my god. So I looked into sending them just even to Poland, and it's very expensive, and he
right.
doesn't have a Polish passport anymore, so they wouldn't, like, accept.
You could just send the ashes.
Like, can you
passport?
Reddit this or something? Surely this is, like, the internet can solve this problem.
I'm sure. So, like, we don't know what to do with these ashes.
Yeah. Do you
so,
have
like,
them? Are they in the house?
No.
Is he with us right now?
No. So, okay.
Yeah. Oh, so nice.
Yeah, so basically, like, we all went for lunch. My aunt came as well, my mom's
right.
sister, and she's always been, like... my closest relative, basically.
She's lovely.
She's so awesome, and she really has my back all the time, like, unquestionably.
Oh, yeah.
And we were at the Fraser River having lunch, and we were like, well, we should just dump him in the river and just send it. And then I thought about it for a while, and she thought about it for a while, and we all kind of, and she's like, I need to kibosh this, because we put my, like, my grandpa's, like, her dad's ashes right down the stream, basically. And even though they wouldn't be there, it's like, we can't have them being in the same spot. They can't do that. And I'm like, I really don't want my dad in the general water supply.
Mm.
And then my aunt was like, well, if you want, like, you probably don't want to keep him in your garage, so we'll keep him in her garage. So my aunt's got them
nice.
For now, and it was nice. But yeah, I totally
so
almost...
There's so many parallels about this story. Like...
Yeah, so that's
you're hitting,
that's
you're
my...
You're ringing so many bells for me.
That's my story. Do you want to share any of yours or not? You don't necessarily have
oh,
to.
Oh, well, I mean, just the Cliff's Notes version of the similarities between your experience and my experience is, like, my aunt stored the ashes
mm-hmm.
for me while I was traveling and didn't have anywhere for them to put, so there was that. And also, like, I had similar experiences with, like, all my relatives coming out of the woodwork and saying, it's like, that people feel obligated to say nice things about a dead person, even if that person, like, wasn't the nicest person.
Yeah.
And I find that really frustrating and have been struggling a lot with the same sort of problems about whether or not to, like, correct people when they make an effort to reach out to me about those things.
Right.
Because it'd be one thing if you're, like, having a casual conversation with someone and you're choosing to remain tactful when someone says something that you don't necessarily, like, want to open an enormous can of worms in order to clarify.
Yeah.
Right.
So but there's those situations. And then there's, like, the situation where someone goes out of their way to, like, contact you with, like, oh, you know, and, like, I'm sure your father
he
would
gave
be
me his
really
kidney.
Sorry. No, I'm sure he would be really sorry about all the bad things that happened to you when you were a child. And, like, beyond the grave, he loves you so much, and he wants you to forgive him. You know? Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like,
fuck the fuck.
I got an email being like, I'm sure if your dad had gotten to know you, he'd be really proud of you.
Well,
you
he know? Certainly had the opportunity.
And yeah. It's like, I'm 33 years old, and I have a child of my own, and I've made peace with so many of these things, and I live a life where I don't even fucking think about him on a daily basis, and that is the best revenge. Like, mm-hmm. I have the life that I want. I don't need to forgive him in order to feel inner peace. And, you know, like, and so anyway, when I receive a letter like this, like I did recently, it just, I waste a whole fucking day thinking about it and crafting a angry and a yet
perfectly withering response. Withering response.
Exactly. Just like, I want to reduce this person to a puddle of apologies. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes,
but
do.
Obviously, like, I don't even need, like the need to do that is something that perhaps is like, you know, I don't need to do this. It's not going to fix anything, you know? It's not gonna make me feel better. If anything, spending a whole day being angry about receiving a card in the mail is, like, counterproductive and a waste of time, and, like, so anyway, I mean,
yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I should, like, hire a loudspeaker, and it should just, like, scream at the whole world constantly, like, just because you're dead does not make you a great fucking person.
Yeah.
You know? Like, sorry.
It's so like true. Like Hitler's dead.
Right?
Yeah.
Lots of people have died who suck.
Yeah, it's like if a father was an asshole in the woods and no one was around to hear, did it ever really happen?
I kind of love that this whole episode has pretty much been basically a dad feelings.
Yeah.
Do we want to, like, maybe end this here and then just do another episode on top of this?
Sure.
Like, talk more about your baby and things?
Sure, we can do a whole
like,
episode
about, like,
on
not
the
not
joys
repeating,
of childbirth.
Not repeating the same mistakes,
no,
etc.
No,
you
can talk about these, whatever you guys
want
to talk
good.
About.
I have,
I'm here to be supportive to my good friend Christina, who buried her father yesterday. I'm not really to talk
bury
about
him.
Myself or to further my own agenda.
She put him in her aunt's garage.
Yeah.
Oh, so dear Christina,
anyway,
who put her dad and her aunt's garage.
I was going to tell one anecdote about
burying
my father, which, you know, people associate funerals with, like, some great import, and I had never attended a funeral before I buried my own, well, scattered my father.
Mm-hmm.
And, see, he died when I was in Europe, so several months elapsed between the actual death and the scattering of the ashes.
Right.
So when I returned to Florida, where the ashes were, because he died, like, in Florida and I was in London, I went back to town and I contacted my aunt, who I had not spoken to for many years for family reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The Planays are not famous for being great at getting along.
Right.
And so anyway, she had the ashes in her closet and she was like, I'm gonna, you know, he would have wanted to be scattered at sea because he was a sailor. So I'm going to arrange it. So she, through her AA group, which she was a part of, was a great, huge part of her life, because my father died of complications resulting in alcoholism, you know, the community got together and they found someone with a boat who was willing to take us out to the inlet.
To international waters.
Yeah. So anyway, we got on this boat and yada yada yada, we ride out to the inlet and we're sitting there and it's like, you know, the water is churning and everyone's like holding on for dear life, and I'm handed, as the child of the man who died, I'm handed this wooden box, and it's like, okay, so it had no lid, it was like a monolith, and I'm like looking at it going,
that's
how do I
open
it?
That's what mine is too, I don't understand.
Yeah, and it was like screwed closed, so finally I had to hand it back and be like, is there an, you know, like, does anyone have an incredibly awkward screwdriver for just such an occasion? And like this guy like unscrews the box and hands it back to me, so I open up the box and inside is a bag.
Yeah.
Like a plastic bag with Champ Planet written on it in Sharpie.
His name is Champ.
And so I was like, you know, I had this moment where I was like, damn, this is like one of those moments in life where you have a realization about death and things in general. And the utter meaninglessness of it, like as I lifted this bag out of this wooden box and I just, like, I thought to myself, this isn't a whole lot of volume, you know? My dad was kind of a big dude and like, you know, like, are there any chunks? Like, can I like, you know, like, had all these thoughts, you know?
Yes.
Like, anyway, so, you know, there's all these families standing around crying, and I'm, like, having an existential moment, so I, like, dumped the bag over the side of the thing, and it, like, flies everywhere, and my aunt is, like, crying, and like, trying to read this also incredibly awkward poem, and, like, anyway, it was just, like, it was altogether not really as solemn and, like, you know.
It sounds like a lot.
It was a lot of weirdness, and then I got home, and I was like, damn, I'm like, I need a drink, like, you know, like, which is sort of so ironic in the context of, like, what had just happened, and, like, so there was that, and then my stepfather got cancer and died within the same year, a couple of years later, and so he died in hospice in a completely different scenario, mm-hmm. where, you know, where my father died in a random motel in Marathon, Florida, and sat there for, like, 2 days before anyone else found him, because, like, that's what happens to you when you're an asshole.
Yeah.
And,
like,
yes,
did
I
did not live
it.
Up to his
Thank
own
you.
Name.
So,
not a chance.
Yeah, and then my stepfather, who's, like, a greatly loved individual by many people, there was, like, 400 people at his funeral and, like, standing room only, so he took, like, 4 weeks to die in hospice.
Right.
The worst way imaginable.
Right.
Like, I would never wish that on my worst enemy.
Of course.
And, like, so when we scattered his ashes, my mother was, like, you know, super just distraught, and there's all these people standing around, and she, like, is digging this hole to scatter the ashes in, because we're, like, in a church graveyard where they have,
right.
like, a garden where the ashes go, and
yeah.
so we're just, like, sort of digging this, like, little piddly ceremonial hole where you would, like, sort of put the ashes in, and
just
then...
Just a dad hole.
Yeah, like, dad ash-sized hole. Anyway, so, like, my mother, like, tries to hand me this shovel, and she's like, would you like to dig some of the hole? And, you know, I'm, like, I had already scattered my father a couple of years before, and I was feeling a little ridiculous about the whole situation, and I burst out laughing extremely inappropriately at the time, and my mother was like, don't laugh, and I was like, I'm the worst daughter in the world. And so then, years later, drunkenly with my mother, I apologized to her. I was like, you know, I don't know how, what, like, you know, I feel bad about it to this day. I don't know what possessed me to, like, burst out laughing. And she's like, you know what? Something I never told anyone. When I dumped him in the hole, some of him got into my mouth. And we had a good laugh over that, and that was that.
Oh, my God.
Funerals are weird.
They are. My family's very cool about it. Like, it's always been, even with people who died very young, like, we were always kind of like, when my grandma passed away, we waited a while to take her ashes up to Lone Butte and, like, walk up the butte. At Lone Butte. And then we will just joke to everybody, like, oh, yeah, we're throwing Grandma off a cliff this weekend. Because that's exactly what we did, was we just scattered her over the side, pretty much. And mm-hmm. she's just like, hey, have a good time there, Margaret.
Mm, yeah.
You know? So, it's
so
fucked up.
I don't know. I need to decide what to do with my dad's ashes, and we'll see. I haven't really
It'll come
considered.
To you.
Yeah, no some good thought will come.
That's
we'll
a good thing about ashes.
They ain't going anywhere. They're pretty in
not
there.
Getting any better.
Yeah, exactly. Very
That's
true.
Actually the best part about death is, like, it's so
I was gonna say
final.
My
and
like it's done.
It's so done.
My like I had two really good thoughts. One is that I'm not having to look over my shoulder anymore about like wondering where my dad's gonna show up. I'm suddenly feeling a lot more free to, like, oh sure, I'll give my phone number out to blah blah blah, or like not be so shy about, like, saying where I would live, or like inviting people over, like going out and doing more things out in the world, you know, just, like, feeling a lot more free, which is really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And the other best thought is, like, all the people that I talked to about, like, my dad's care, there were all these care workers that really loved him and supported, oh, he was so charming and blah, blah, and his doctor and these neighbors. I don't have to speak to any of them ever again. Like, I actually have no reason to talk to any of them ever again. It feels great. So, chapter closed.
Yeah, and all that baggage you carry around, like, the night after I heard that my father had died, like, I legitimately feared that he would, like, come to me in an apparition or something. Even though I'm totally not that sort of person, I have zero beliefs like that.
You're gonna get, like, a Jacob Marley
totally.
Visitation.
And, like, that was it was, like, I was so afraid that I would, like, have a dream about him or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got just prohibitively drunk that night.
Just to shut it down.
Yeah, and I had this realization that all the baggage that I had been carrying around for years and years, and all the things that I felt that needed to be said and said back, just, it like, went up in a cloud of vapor, and they didn't exist anymore, and, like,
mm-hmm.
nothing ever could be said ever again, and therefore, I no longer had to justify myself, I no longer had to explain how I felt, I no longer had to receive explanations that I didn't, it was, like, all of it was just, like, shut, and it felt so good to be able to say, this is over. And all my unresolved emotions about it will never, ever get resolved, and that's it. Like, I can just close the door on this. And it was so wonderful. It was, like, the most wonderful... I just, you know, I would recommend a shitty parent dying to anyone.
I kind of want to leave it at that. Okay. Is that a good spot to end?
Okay, see you guys next week.